From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. The rest of the way episode, talking Rangers hockey, has got weeks pretty much winding down in the regular season for the Blue Shirts. Maybe there's a light, small probability, but chances look bleak. But we'll have that discussion with RP, of course. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on our iTunes podcast for public tuning and Stitcher, as you can hear. Myself and Ranger Proud on the website of BleedBlueShow.com as well. We'll bring on RP, Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram, and also the writer for Elite Sports New York, RP. It's been a couple of weeks. It's good to hear from you, my man. How's everything?
Pretty good, Steve. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. It's good to talk with you, brother. It's time to talk hockey, talk sports, man. I know some games that we've had over the Florida trip, and then also the nice win over the Carolina Hurricanes. So we can go anywhere you want with this. I definitely have one to pick your brain and talk some Rangers hockey.
Sounds good. Start picking away.
So what did you take out of this? Because we weren't on last week, as you already know. Some of the games, since the post-trade, you know, a lot of, since the trades with Nash gone, we picked up with the New York Rangers versus the Tampa Bay Rangers. What was your thoughts on that game and on the Florida games? And of course, look, the makeup of this team. I guess the big question is, what is the remaining things you would like to see this roster accomplish by the end of the season?
Well, you know, it's going to be hard for them to accomplish, not so much accomplish, but the team isn't really going to be intact. So I guess what you're trying to see now is, like, guys like Neil Pionk and Johnny Gilmore, what they can do playing, you know, whatever it be, 15 or 20 games to ride out the season, how they handle the pressure. Pionk's been playing a lot of top line, playing against the other team's top lines a lot. Gilmore's been getting some really good power play time. They both seem to be getting much more comfortable on the ice. I want to see how Ryan Spooner plays over a long period of time. Of course, Nepstinkov, can he score the way he was scoring when he was with Tampa Bay on this Ranger team? Can he be the leader and a big play man? So there's a lot of little things like that. You know, Alexander Georgiev has just played great. You know, he only has two wins in the four or five games that he's played, but I tell you, the players really like his style. He plays without a lot of confidence, and goaltending is an issue. Lundqvist is 36 now. You got to figure the next 2 years, some sort of transition is going to happen. You know, it most likely will be with Igor Shorostin, who's right now playing down in the KHL, but he's probably our future number one goalie. But the one good thing about the Rangers is that goaltending has they've always been good with goaltending. They've always found players that can come up into the NHL and last a long time. So you want to see that progression. From wins and losses, a lot of it doesn't matter. I do not see this team getting into that playoff window. Everybody else just keeps winning. There's too many teams to leapfrog ahead. I think the last I looked at the standings, the Rangers are 9 points out of the second wild card with, I think it's 12 games to go. It's a hard task. These teams are going to have to find some losing streaks, which I just don't see is going to happen. So they're playing for pride, Steve. That's what they're playing for right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about playing for pride. The chances are very slim. We've seen some wacky things over the years, but as far as the makeup of this roster, I think it's a lot to overcome. But I'm glad you brought up Neil Pionk's name first, because that was the first guy I was thinking about when thinking of this episode, because I watched him a lot defensively. And I think he's a little – he's pesky. He has an active stick. He recovers well for a smaller guy. I think – I like how defensively he's kind of held his ground. He's kind of growing into his own as far as the position where being called up and being a young guy, a young defenseman, and giving him pretty much a lot of the green light to just do what he has to do defensively in that system defensively. I like what he's done, and I think he's done the job pretty well. And then you went to the point of Gilmore. What about Gilmore as far as defensively as well? I know he's getting a green light, especially at the point with a lot of slap shots. He's been missing wide on a lot of those, just to try to put something on the net. But what is something about Gilmore's game, even with Pionk, that you would like to see more with the rest of this season as well?
I think what you want to see now from both of them is just getting acclimated to the National Hockey League. You know, these are two rookies that came up. They're averaging almost 18, 19 minutes a game. Normally when you bring up a defenseman, especially into the NHL, because the forwards are just so fast and so accurate, you would want to bring them in slowly in games, you know, play in the fifth and sixth spot, maybe get a little power play, maybe once we'll get into the second pairing. But the Rangers are so depleted on the defensive position, Gilmore and Pionk kind of got thrown to the wolves and, you know, just get in there and figure it out on the fly, which normally is not AV's best coaching job when something like that happens, but he doesn't really have much choice right now. So that kind of favors Gilmore and Pionk. I just want to see them get better every game. You know, Gilmore, he's trying. He's a little bit more offensive than Pionk. He has two goals on the season. I like his style. Missing the net is just something. It's the energy. It's the nerves. It's still a really new process. I mean, you know, you're playing with the Wolfpack the entire season, and now the last 16 games, you're playing in the big club, and there's a lot of turmoil on a big club. So it's really hard to not to fit in, but to know where you are, to know where the team stands. There's still a lot of rumors going around that more moves are going to be made. Will the coach be here when the season ends? So I think as these two rookies just have to do what they're doing now. I mean, they play a solid, smart hockey game. If you notice, they don't take a lot of chances with the puck, which is the Rangers can't afford to with the way they've been playing defense overall. So I like how Gilmore plays. I like him on the power play. He seems very comfortable on the power play. Neil Pionk seems he's been playing with Brady Shea a lot. He seems comfortable. Shea seems to be settling in a little bit more. He had a tough sophomore season. So it's all a growing period right now. Unfortunately, it's kind of going to get stopped. You know, see, they're going to get like 30 games in, which is a great head start going into next season. And then they're going to have the offseason to sort of fine-tune and realize what both of them need to do to stay in the NHL. I think they're going to have a really strong training camp. This is, experience-wise, this is huge because the games may not mean as much to the Rangers as the playoff window was closing. But for these guys, every game is just more experience. It'll make next year's adaption to the NHL a lot faster. So that's what they have to look forward to.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you could really take from this is with these young guys, with the experience you can get in the last 3 weeks of the season, 3-4 weeks of the season, where they could carry that over into camp and they've had that live game action versus quality teams too. It's not just with teams that were toward the end of the season where teams were kind of mailing it in, getting ready for the playoffs or whatever. I mean, a lot of these teams are in the hunt. A lot of these teams are fighting for playoff position that the Rangers are going up against, and they're actually getting that type of experience versus those quality teams in both conferences, East and the West. Back to Gilmore as well. Same thing as far as the Harper deal is with you guys putting their bodies in positions for a solid end of the season and into camp. It's just a meshing thing, like what you said with Pionk and Shea. And Shea's kind of. I would call him the leader, but he's kind of had that leader attitude since a lot of these guys have gone. Who else could you go to?
Well, you know, I would think Mark Stahl is the other one. You know, I'm a Stahl fan.
He's a veteran.
And he's a veteran. He just plays a solid, quiet hockey game, which is what they need right now.
Mm-hmm.
Shea is a victim of a lot of the problems, and I keep going back to it. I blame a lot of it on Alain Vigneault. He kept changing the pairings all year. It was the same thing with McDonough before he got traded. You need to, especially in the defense, there's only six starting defensemen. You really need to find partners and leave them together so they can get a feel what the other guy can do. In my opinion, sometimes the defensive chemistry is so much more important than the offensive. There's only, you know, there's Ryan McDonough and it's five other defensemen. So it only takes you five, maybe six shots to find a guy that he really plays with. And then you got to go through the good and the bad till it works out. Brady Shea felt mm-hmm. that same thing. You thought he was going to play with Brandon Smith, and Smith didn't work out after he signed the long, you know, the extended contract. He goes down to the minors. Now Shea's playing with everybody again. He was playing with Holden. He was playing with Camp. He was playing with McDonough. He was playing with Shattenkirk. So many defensemen have come and gone this season. It's very hard for him to get a beat on. You know, it is only his second full year. And he really started to come out of the show in the playoffs last year. He really started playing well. You know, the last 10 games of the regular season and the playoffs, you felt, hey, this kid is really going to step up. This year he even keeled a little bit, not because of his own skill, because of what was surrounding him. So I give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And then on top of it, he's playing with, you know, mainly with Pionk, who's a rookie, and he has to, you know, keep an eye on that situation and not be overly aggressive. So his offensive skill is sort of taking a backward step because he has to really concentrate on his defense. But Brady Shea is by far the future of the team. I've been saying all along, I think Shea, Pionk, and Gilmore are those three guys that you're going to say are going to be Rangers for a long time. You hope they're going to be Rangers for a long time. You could see that really working out well down the road. If you look at the defense overall, Steve, they, not playing-wise, but personnel-wise, they've gone through a lot of defensemen this year. A lot of defensemen have suited up. I think I was doing a report earlier. I think they've had 11 different defensemen suit up today. That's a lot in one season for defensemen. So, you know, injury bugs, bad play, Bignon benching guys, it's just been a really unusual season. I mean, we've seen bad seasons, but this season was weird because it wasn't anticipated. We knew they weren't a great goal-scoring team and they were going to have their moments. I don't think if you asked in the beginning of the year, were they a playoff team, everybody would have said yes. So not making the playoffs, though it's not a surprise today, you could say it was pretty much a surprise as things unfolded.
I think there's a caveat to what you're saying. We said that in the beginning of the season in the summertime. We said that this team was going to make the playoffs, or we thought they would. And I thought, but I also thought at the time, and I think we were in agreement, that the roster wasn't much better. It just tweaked a little in certain areas, like his Shattenkirk coming over with the friendly deal. But I think it was more so why the season, in my opinion, while it kind of got a little out of hand, was once Chris Kreider got hurt and he was out for that extended period of time. Because I think certain guys you just can't replace. And I don't know if that's, I mean, it's a business at the end of the day, and you kind of have to account for the guys who are going to get injured, and that's not to make an excuse. It's just the way it happened. If Kreider was in the lineup, when Kreider was in the lineup before he got hurt, they were a playoff team. They were in the wild card position. Once he got hurt, they started. They won a couple games.
You could say the same thing about. You could say the same thing about Shattenkirk too. You know, when he went out with the knee spiral. But I think they were still up there, and you know he wound up and playing great defensively. But he was getting his points. He was making the power play at least a little bit of a threat. And when he came out, look, is he the greatest defenseman defensively? Probably not. He's a third, fourth defenseman, a second pair defenseman. But on the power play and scoring opportunities with if he has the players around him, he's really good with the puck. And we had said all along, you got to take, if you're going to take his bad defense because his offense is so good. And that's been said around, not just myself saying it. So it's another factor. But the Rangers have had a lot of these kind of issues this season. It's just been a very unusual season. A lot of players that you thought would step up and have not a great career year, but a good season, they just all seem to be struggling. I mean, Zuccarello. He's not a goal scorer to begin with, but he wasn't even getting a lot of assists and points when they really needed to get them. And it was just a combination of things. It's not all on him. But as a team, they just all – they all struggled. The whole team overall struggled.
I think it goes to your points. I think it is a combination of things. I would include Shattenkirk into that conversation. But if I had to put a weight on it, I would say he is more – on a lower of 25-30% of the reason, maybe why, if he was in the lineup with some of that veteranship, he started to get a little bit comfortable as the season got going. But to me, it was really more offensively challenged the Rangers, especially getting hit up in the blue area, the blue zone, neutral zone, the circles. That's where Chris Kreider runs supreme, man. And I think that was an element they just did not have. I know Shattenkirk is an offensive defenseman, defenseman, But when it came to, in particular, offensively, this team, I mean, they were the struggle just to get shots on goal, the struggle just the hits and just the physical play. A big body who can skate the way he does is just, the team just doesn't have it. You saw, I think, was it after the All-Star break when the Rangers got destroyed by the Islanders? Like little things like that. When it gets out of control and you don't have the offense or guys that could help create other guys or set up other guys, it could look real bleak. But I want to go back to Ryan Spooner because that was something I wanted to ask you or actually talk to you about, because let's have that discussion. You said you want to see him do it over a long period of time, because since he's been with the Rangers, I thought he's done a decent job scoring, getting a lot of assists. He had a goal in that Tampa Bay game last week. Even when they were in, was it Calgary? He had that goal. He had a very good game in Calgary. Overall, you saw that the writing was on the wall for JT Miller in the trade. It was no point in keeping both of them. So what is your thoughts of Ryan Spooner just thus far since coming over to the Rangers?
I mean, it's tough. He's only played in 8 games with the Rangers. He 2 goals and 11 assists. He's got 13 points. So he's putting the points up. It always comes down, can he do it consistently? Is this him still running on adrenaline from, you know, the trade occurring? Or is this the quality player he has? It's funny when you look at his numbers. He had a fair season when he was with the Bruins. He played in 39 games. He had 9 goals, 16 assists for 25 points. Pretty much on that same kind of pace. Obviously, his assist total is a lot better in these 8 games. If you look at the two when he played for the two teams. So, but they need him to play at this consistent level. It's something the Rangers are lacking offensively. They don't have a lot of consistent scoring all around. They haven't all year. The last 3 weeks, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with the trade line passing. I think overall for the team, once that letter came out in February, it messed up the team more than the Ranger organization thought it would. Because now everyone was looking in the locker room. Was he going to be here next game? Is he going to be here next game? Is he getting moved? And no matter what you say, it's not just hockey. You know, these guys have families and there's a lot involved when you get traded. And the constant waiting, I believe, took its toll on the whole locker room. Now the trade deadline passes. You got a kid like Spooner coming over. He's excited. He's on the other side of that, you know. He came over. He's been playing well. He's been playing aggressive. He's playing pretty good defensively when he's in our own zone. So you just want to see it continue. You want to see it prosper, obviously. And then you see where you stand next year. Like you said, JT Miller, Kevin Hayes, Spooner, all the same kind of player. So Hayes is the one that went because Tampa really wanted him. It's really, if Tampa really wanted Kevin Hayes probably gets traded. So this is where you are now. I mean, he's young, Spooner. He's only 26. The Rangers need a good center. So you wait and you see a lot's going to come out next season. You know, let's see a whole season with him. He's winning. You know, his percentage on faceoffs is all right. It's not great. It's not horrible. So it fits right in with the Rangers, Steve. It's just how, you know, where they've been. So he's winning like 30% of his faceoffs. Nothing great. Nothing horrible either. So you just got to see if he can do it consistently. You know, Steve, to go to another forward, Nemtinkov, I can't even pronounce his name, I'm sorry. He's the biggest factor, believe it or not, I think, of all the moves that the Rangers made. Because he was the kid that came over playing with Stamkos, scoring all these points. Now he comes to a Ranger team when he's the lead focal guy. So he needs to be the playmaker and the goal scorer. And there's a question if he can or can't do it. I'm more concerned with him and how he plays next season than I am with a Spoon or anyone else that's on the team right now. Because if he doesn't work out, then we really got beat on the trade.
All right. I mean, we were going to get to him, RP. I'm kind of jumping on you a little bit there.
It's been a long time.
Now, I like the fact that Spooner is getting the opportunity. His time in Boston, he didn't really longer shifts. They play a lot longer shifts with the Bruins system than with the Rangers. The Rangers are quick and in and out. But he's getting a lot of ice time with the Rangers, and I think he's trying to make the most of it, of his time on the ice. Especially on that Canada trip. And we didn't get to talk about that. I know that was a couple of weeks back. It even seems like a long time ago since playing the Florida teams in Winnipeg. But I'm talking about the Vancouver game and Edmonton and Calgary. I know it's a while ago, but I thought there was some very good wins on that road trip. I know some of those teams are trying to fight for playoff position, but at the time, some of those teams were right there. Like Calgary was right there, and the Rangers is going to be a team to play spoiler. And I thought a guy like Spooner on that trip in the Calgary game and then coming back home versus Winnipeg kind of slowed down a little bit. But I think Winnipeg was a monster. And I'm going to get to the Winnipeg game because I thought they played a very fine game versus the Rangers on last week. But Spooner, to wrap up what I'm saying about Spooner, I think he does a good job behind on the forecheck and especially getting the pass out. He's a quick skater. He's kind of shifty as well. Where Miller is kind of more of a crafty kind of guy. He's a hard-nosed guy, but he's kind of like gritty a little bit. Where Spoon is more finesse, but it still kind of works the same with the skating on the lines. I thought whether if he's with Kevin Hayes on that line, or I think sometimes they mix it up with Buchnevich, and Buchnevich is not with VC, but either or. With Spooner, with Kevin Hayes, and then Zuccarello, if they don't mix and match with Zibanejad, either or. I like what he's done at the wing position thus far. I mean, it's got to take time, and maybe we'll see a little bit more of that with the next 3 weeks on his game. Because when he first came over, his points was very, very good. I thought it was very consistent, man. Not bad for it to be between a second and third line guy. So. Well, let's get to the guy. His name we can't pronounce because I think that's the big guy coming back from the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's a very, very fair question. What have you liked thus far as a Ranger? How do you like Denisimov? How do you, if I'm butchering his name, how do you like his name thus far since coming over?
I mean, like his style.
He scored last night.
He's really fast.
He had one goal last night. So what's your thoughts?
And I tell you, the other night he put him on with Buchnevich, which I really like. I think sometimes you need to get these Russian guys together. They always seem to play well when there's two of them on a line. I don't know if it's a communication thing, if it's a confidence thing with their skating. I like that. He's a solid hockey player. He can put up the points. But as I said earlier, and now he's trying to put up the points, and he doesn't have Stamkos and Kucherov with him on the line, so it's a lot different. You want to know how different it is? Tonight, Miller played with Stamkos and Kucherov and got his first career hat trick. Not taking away anything from anyone, but these guys can play with anybody. And Miller's getting hat tricks. Miller, I think, has 3 or 4 goals since he went over to Tampa Bay playing with these guys. These guys were really good. Now we have to see if this kid from the Rangers can continue what he was doing on Tampa Bay. And you're only going to know that by time. There's no other way to break it down. His last two seasons with Tampa, he had 20 goals in each of the season. He averaged around 44, 45 points the last two seasons. He was putting the points up with two great playmakers with him. So now, can he be the guy on his own? Can he be the number one? This is what we're going to have to wait and see. He has all the skill and he has all the talent, but we've seen that before too. So it's definitely a wait and see. There's a lot of anticipation that he can carry the load. And we're just going to have to see if he can do it. You know, you get 20 out of him every year. It's what he normally does. But we have to see if he can do it, him being the lead man now.
I mean, let's give credit to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's give credit to Steve Yzerman, man. I mean,
they're
Kucherov is leading the league, and yeah, they're on fire, man. I mean, we got to
they're
see that
fire.
First
they're
glance. I mean,
favorite going in. Yeah.
I'm going to hold off on that conversation to when we get to the
NHL
later on because I was looking at some of their games, and not only just like the game versus us, because we did beat them earlier this year, even when they were scorching.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they really are putting it on, and then it goes to the point what you're saying as them adding JT Miller to their first line, just swapping them. And he's not missing a beat as far as points.
No.
He's scoring at a better rate than he was when he was a Ranger. Different roles,
well,
though, because they decided to keep him. It has more freedom at left wing, where JT Miller, you know, he's going to either be a wing, he's going to be a center. They asked him to do whatever they wanted to do, where JT Miller could just go ahead and do his thing on the left wing as a forward. And
which
he,
is what
he
we said earlier in the season. He's a better winger than he was a center, and, you know,
but
you don't want to be the dead horse.
But you know what?
That's a testament,
that's a testament to them having a true number one center. Well, remember, our question at the time with the Rangers is we don't have that. We're kind of piecemealing it. We're piecemealing our center position.
Mm-hmm.
We like Zibanejad, but is he true number one? No.
But he kept changing his centers too this year. I mean, there's still no, even today, there's still no reason why they sent Buniyev down. He was doing the job as the center. He was a good center. He was a good playmaker on the fourth line.
What do you think the reason why for Buniyev is? What do you think the reason why for Buniyev is?
I'm really down on AV. I'm really down on AV right now. So I tend to be blaming him for a lot of things. I have to tell you, when you look at the whole today, when I look at the entire season, there's about too many times when you go, what was he thinking? You know, the time in Vegas when we were down a goal, and I think he sat, was it Buchanov or Miller? You know, how many times did he bench Buchanov? All these things he didn't give the Rangers a chance to win the season. I know that sounds weird, but he really didn't. He made a lot of strange moves. He made a lot of unusual moves. I know he was trying to find that right key, but I think on behalf of Miller, on behalf of McDonough, these guys didn't have the year they normally had because of the coaching. I mean, JT Miller was looking over his shoulder more than playing his game because of the coach. And JT Miller did whatever the organization wanted to do. You want me to center, I'll center. You want me to wing, I'll play wing. You want me on the third line, you want me on the fourth line. He wasn't traded because he quit on the team. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes a player needs a change of scenery. I don't know if... I think Miller needed a change of a coach more than he needed a change of the scenery of New York. I truly believe that. I mean, you see him now skating, and yeah, there's that adrenaline. You're on a new team. You want to prove stuff. But he looks really comfortable and confident the way he looked in previous years with the Rangers. And I think a lot of that has to do the same thing with Buniyev. AV was just looking for something, and it just wasn't there. Granted, the GM has a lot to do with that too, because he does have the final say on personnel, but he's taking input from the head coach, especially in this sport of hockey more than in the other sports. I don't know why Niez was sent down. I don't think you could ask much more for him. He was a third, fourth line center, meaning he's there. That's going to score when he's out against them most of the time. He's going to get some good scoring chances. He's able to skate with the other team's better players. That's what you want in those positions. So I don't know why you would send him down. Well, why would you bring Peter Holland on the team and Cody McLeod onto the team and send Niev down? I to this day don't understand either of those moves. I don't see where they benefited the team. I think it added a little bit of animosity to the team. So much as they didn't like the players, but why were the players brought in? You know, once again, more third and fourth line kind of players. If they're all the same kind of players and you're looking for chemistry, why would you mess that chemistry up? So,
right.
You know, I'm down on AV right now. I think he's played out his time with the Rangers. I think the management thinks so too. After the trade deadline, they were asked, would AV be the coach to lead the rebuild? And Gordon Boeheim said, we'll just wait and see when the season ends how everybody feels about it. That's not the ringing endorsement that you'd be looking for. So it does, you know, he's the captain of the ship, and the ship's been sinking for a while.
Yeah, and to your point with JT Miller, I mean, he literally went from the bench to first place for what kind of season he's been having. I know he's probably got to be excited. I think this, you know, obviously this is the best line he's played with in his career. I don't care what Rangers you want to put in his past. I mean, look at the point production before he even got there, and it's out of this world with Stamkos and Kucherov. So these guys are really putting in some major, major points. And I know we played them early in the year, and we beat them on that first Florida trip. But that last game, woo, man! They
McDonough wasn't even in the lineup. You know,
they didn't even have Ryan McDonough, correct?
You talk about players more relaxed and playing, you know, with a better team. McDonough doesn't have the C on his chest anymore. He's not the number one defenseman on the team anymore. Not because of his skill, because of who they had. Makes his game so much better because the weight of the world isn't on him. He's not carrying or trying to carry the team. He could play the way he played.
The crazy thing about that, RP, they're going to pair him up with somebody he's familiar with when he gets back or whenever they play. He may have played tonight.
He played Saturday night. You know who his defensive partner was? Dan Girardi.
It's got to be Girardi.
It was perfect. And who's the number one defenseman on that team? Strowman.
They could have not had to find a better spot for those two players.
No. And you're telling me that those three players couldn't play well together with the Rangers? They gave up on Strowman because they didn't think he was worth the money, which obviously he was. They bought out Dan Girardi because they didn't want to pay him the salary and didn't think, and thought he took a couple of steps backwards from last year, and he's having an incredible time over there. And now you put Ryan McGunner over there. So the three amigos are back together, all know each other, all playing well. Steve Yzerman has an idea of what he needed to complete this deal. If they can get it done, granted, that's another story, but no one could criticize him for not trying, you know what I'm saying? He got the pieces that he thinks can get him over the top, and now you just have to wait and see if it happens. So all the mistakes that we have made, you think about it, the Rangers battled the Lightning in 2015 and beat them when we made it to the finals. They lost to them in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals the next year, right? And then what happened? Tampa Bay got better again. The Rangers kept falling. Tampa Bay's probably top 2-3 teams to make it to the finals this year. The Rangers are the top 2-3 teams to get the number one pick in the draft this year. So
it's very polarizing.
How did it go so bad in 2 years? 2.5 years?
I really can't explain that.
That's
the NHL. It seems like a lot of teams do that. Because Tampa Bay, after the 2015 season, when they went to the Stanley Cup finals, they did take a step back. And then, but I knew they were talented enough to beat back. It's just one season.
Yeah, but
they
took a step back for a year and a half. The Rangers have been in a decline for we've been talking about it for 2 years, scoring-wise, personnel-wise. Why wasn't it addressed? You want to know something? The entire team themselves is the blame, is the reason they are where they are right now. Gorton, AV, the players, there's no one that you can't blame.
I'll say this.
An organizational failure. That's just how I look at it. You know.
I agree with you, dude. But here's my other point, and I think we could connect the dots on this whole thing with the Rangers. And I think we all, as Ranger fans, could really attest to this. When everybody's healthy and they don't really have that number one goal scorer, they have a bunch of balanced scoring for his last several years. What I've noticed going up against Winnipeg, what I noticed going up against, of course, Tampa Bay. We got Pittsburgh coming up on Wednesday. A lot of these teams, Philadelphia is another one. A lot of these teams, whether they get far or not, they could score. They have a guy they could go to. We already know about Washington. We are not going to mention their name, their main score. We already know them. We're really watching that Winnipeg game. What really made them jump off the screen is landing their draft pick and then implement them into their lineup, and they could score at will. The Rangers don't have that. They just don't have that one or two guys that's going to put up goals. Like, you look at other teams, everybody, like all these teams that are playoff contending teams, you got at least 2-3 guys at least at 30 goals. And, you know, and an assist, and if you want to add up total points, they're well above 85. I mean, they're putting up a crazy amount of points, and it's no surprise, because when you look at the Rangers games, it's just a struggle just to get a shot off, let alone a shot on goal at the net. I think that's what the Rangers don't have, where all these other teams, I know that this is just for one season, but like I said, the Rangers play well when everybody's when they're all healthy, when everybody's in the lineup. And somebody like Mika Zibanejad last year, he was out for a little bit and came back later on, they were fine. But for the most part, man, they don't have that goal scorer. They just don't.
No. Their best goal scorer was supposed to be our best penalty killer, Michael Graben.
What do you have, almost
50 goals in the last two seasons, 45 goals in the last two seasons? And when he was signed, the Rangers had one of the worst penalty kills the year before, and that was his. And it was great that we had him, but that wasn't even supposed to be his role. But, Steve, this is something that should have been addressed in the middle of last season, in the off season this season, and it wasn't. So whether they played well when all the players are healthy, they still weren't scoring a lot of goals. and they were still making the same turnovers and defensive miscues that they've been making. They never kept up with the times. They never kept up. The moves that they made were important moves, mm-hmm. but they weren't enough to make them contenders again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they were doing that score by committee last year and they couldn't get by Ottawa, which they should have gotten by from what everyone
should
feels. Okay, mm-hmm. now you're going to this offseason and you improve it all on the forward position. I mean, caliber players, not a Peter Holland, not a Cody McAlloy, not moving Desjardins in or bringing Bouniers up. But from your power standpoint, you were relying that Kevin Hayes, Zuccarello, Kreider, JT Miller, even Rick Nash to an extent, would all have career seasons for the Rangers to get deeper into the playoff run. That was a real tough gamble. And yeah, obviously they rolled the snake eyes, and this is the way they are now. So, you know, yeah, they're rebuilding, and we've been talking about that. This is not going to be the quick rebuild everyone's anticipating.
Well,
I don't see how next year they're that much better.
I don't want to jump the gun too far down the line because we have a lot of time to discuss. But since you put it out there like that, do you forecast or foresee this team, or not even this team, but whatever it could be, have a chance at a wild card position next season? If everything breaks right, because it's a polar. I like I said to you earlier, this league is so polarizing. I mean, we have a friggin' expansion team running a conference. You put just a bunch of guys together, and you're like one of the top teams in the West in the Vegas Golden Knights. And then, not to say all those guys are pretty good, because they were at one, you know, they just got cut loose depending on, you know, situations with those own salary cap structures. But my whole point is, you see teams go from last to first to last all the time in the sport. I mean, maybe it's maybe a question that we need to have more answers. But do you think, is it possible, like with all this experience, like we said with Pionk and Gilmore, whoever is going to be battling in camp, do you think there could be a shot if you while you're rebuilding? Do you think that could happen or no?
Here's what we thought. When the season was in midstream, everyone was saying it was probably going to take 96 points to make the playoffs this year. The entire Eastern mm-hmm. Conference slowed down. I mean, Washington, I'm just looking at the Eastern Conference, not at playoffs. The Metropolitan Division, where the Rangers are, with about 13 games, give or take, each team, Washington has 85 points. Pittsburgh's at 84. Somehow Philadelphia has 81. After that, you got Columbus, New Jersey, Carolina, the Islanders, and the Rangers. I don't see any of those teams getting to 96. Maybe Philadelphia was if they had a really good roll. They have 12 games left. That'd be 24 points. Yeah, that would put them at 105 if they won every game. So our projection of what we thought we're going to make a playoff run, for whatever reason, has fell below the wayside a little bit. If next year 90 points makes the playoffs, let's just throw in a number because you're asking me if they can make it. The Rangers are going to have to find at least 8 more wins that they had now. I don't know if there will be 8 games.
That's a lot of wins. That's a lot.
It's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
From a offensive standpoint, unless the Rangers now make trades for caliber NHL players that are in the league now that can put the puck in the net, you can't just rely on the draft because a lot of those guys, except for maybe – your top 3-5 pick, and it depends who it is, may not be NHL ready. So if they're not NHL ready, it's great to have the 10 picks in the draft next year, but if only one of them is going to make it to the NHL, they're more than one player away, never mind be it a rookie in his first time in the NHL that's still not a Connor McDavid caliber kind of a player. I don't see where the offense is going to come into play. Lundqvist can get on one of those runs when he wins 38 games again. You just don't know. If I had to assume it, I would say no, they're not going to be in the playoffs next year. That's just a hunch on what we have right now. Who knows what happens when playoffs end and you're making trades and the draft comes around. The Rangers could make moves with some of these picks and not use them all. You just don't know where they're going to lie. I mean, there's no guarantee the Rangers get the number one pick anyway. So it's hard to say, but I don't know if they can find 8 more wins next year. Happened, you know, stranger things have happened in the league, like you were saying, there's so much parity now. But it's really going to be a tough battle. You talk about the Rangers going from last place in the Eastern Conference, maybe second to last because the Islanders are slumping something horrible too, up to a wild card or, you know, top three in the division. It's a lot to ask for, not knowing what the personnel is going to look at. And the best way to answer that, Steve, is it depends who the coach is. If the Rangers don't move Vigneault, you're going to get the same thing again next year. The same coaching staff,
right,
the same problems. I think, you know, not to beat the dead horse once again, if you're going to rebuild, you need to start at the top. You really do. You need to start with a different outlook. You need a different set of eyes, a different voice in the locker room, a different way to run practice, morning skates. The whole bit's got to change. This isn't working. And we haven't won anything with this, like we said before. Yeah, we've had some good runs and all, but the bottom line is we never hoisted a cup here. So
that's the most disheartening.
The loyalty only goes so far. You know, you made it to one Stanley Cup final and two Eastern Conference championships. Great stats, great on the resume, but as a fan, we haven't won anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do the rebuild and you're going to put everybody through this, do it from the beginning and bring a guy in. Think about it, Steve. Are you going to keep AV for two more years? No. So by the time the rebuild really gets going, he's going to be out anyway. So you might as well do it now and try to find that fresh look, that new guy that you want that's going to be here for a while and see where it goes. It's not an easy thing to do. I understand that. And the other thing I think you got to realize is if you're going to make that move, you got to do it before the draft. You can't have Alain Vigneault and Jeff Gordon, Chris Grilly sitting down there with their chief scout deciding who you're going to and then get rid of the coach. Because what you get, you know, after the first pick, which is normally the best player that you can get hands on, a lot of it is strategy and what your team is looking for, and you really need a coach to dictate that.
Yeah, fair points. I don't disagree with that. I think we've been in accord pretty much the whole season saying the same thing, a similar thing, with rebuilding and moving forward with this roster. I'm going to go back to Vlad Namestnikov, all right? I want to go back to him because I don't think – it's really hard to say. I think he's a pretty good player. We saw him in some of these games and produce a little bit, but to compare him VC and Pavel Buchnev is just not Steven Stamkos and Kucherov, man. I mean, he was putting up a lot of good numbers early on in the season. Maybe some of it is stockpiling, and I think if the Tampa Bay Lightning can identify that, say, hey, it doesn't matter who plays as the other wing, we can bring somebody else, and we're going to get similar or likewise production. So I think that's probably was a no-brainer in the deal. But not to say that takes anything away from his game. I think he's played well. And I think that's a valid question is if could he keep it up or can he play, produce without those guys and playing with a VC and playing with a Pavel Buchnev. And I thought, you know, the last couple of games, well, Pavel Buchnev in the Carolina Hurricane, he had a good game. He had a good game playing with him.
Yeah.
That's the key word in this whole question, fairly assess his game, because I don't think that's the caliber of players he had before versus the guys he got now. Not that they're shabby, they're okay, they're good, but they're not those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a player I really didn't watch a lot and see a lot. You just read a lot about and you saw his numbers there. It's going to take time to see. And I really truly believe it depends what kind of offense they're going to set up. Like for Buchnevic, I think the guy could light the lamp 25, 30 times if he's given the freedom. You know, if he's one of those players that you go, you know, of course you got to get back on defense, but get out there and get your shots, take your chances. He's never had that. And it's huge. In Tampa Bay, it's like he had that. He had two of the greatest players on that team playing with them. They were gun crazy. They shot the puck everywhere. They were playmakers. They were fast. And remember, Stamkos last year was hurt a lot. and this guy still scored 22 goals. So it can happen. It probably should happen. But he needs playmakers around him, too. You can't do it alone in this league. It's too easy to isolate on one player. Look at the Washington Capitals all these years. Once guys figure out how to isolate on Ovechkin, they might have won divisions and president's trophies, but they never made it out of the second round, and they still haven't made it out of the second round. So it's the caliber of player around you. It's really a team sport. Sometimes you don't notice that. You see a Sidney Crosby. You see a Rick Nash when he was scoring a lot of goals. You see a Connor McDavid and an Auston Matthews. Those guys score a lot of goals, but they get a lot of assists too. They set up a lot of players. They draw defenders to them, and they're smart enough to get the puck to the open guy, and he scores. It's a team effort, and the Rangers have been very isolated over the last couple of years because that's what happens when you're scoring by committee. Everyone says let's pass more. Let's pass more. They don't shoot enough because they don't have the goal scorers to shoot enough. They don't have that pure goal scorer like when Rick Nash came over from Columbus. When Rick Nash came from Columbus, he was the guy you wanted to get the puck on a stick. He was scoring from everywhere. He scored that one year with us 42 goals, but then he had some injuries, he had some concussions. He got a little bit older, and now he had no one to give the puck to. So it's such a team-based sport that a lot of times it doesn't seem that way. You know, you look at these other teams that have great defensemen and you can get the puck to the point. You look at a Carlson when he's playing well, or Letang. These guys can dictate a play. The Rangers just didn't have that with all the problems they had. There's a lot of stuff that's built up. The Rangers didn't get bad overnight. I just don't think it was recognized early enough or just believed it would get better. You know, you and I had said all along, maybe they should make a big trade in November. Why are they holding on to a Nick Holden all this time? Granted, they got a good move out of him, but maybe they could have got a better score or get more personnel on the team. And we felt like Gordon was scared to pull the trigger until February, 3 weeks before the trade deadline, when everybody knew he was going to pull the trigger. Granted, he made some great trades and all, but today, even after those trades, the team isn't better yet. You know what I'm saying? The team is where the team is. With or without those trades, the advantage of trading Grabner and Nash is you hope that you got pieces for the future. But as of tonight, right now, you don't know what you have from those trades. And the team is the same, if not a little bit worse, than it was when we had Nash and Grabner in the lineup because your two top scorers were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nash wasn't the top scorer, but he was up there. You know, when he was on the ice, felt something could happen. The Rangers don't have that right now. Who are you scared of the Rangers? Before you would watch Grabner because
I don't scare nobody on Rangers.
None of them.
Me if I'm Neil Pulis.
There's no one that you're worried about the Rangers. It's a horrible team to put on the ice like that. Even the Islanders, as much as they're struggling right now and how they've fallen through, you can't tell me you're not scared of John Tavares. He could light the lineup at any time.
Our new next captain?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Tavares is going to sign with the Islanders pretty fast. The whole Belmont, that whole move would fall apart if Tavares isn't there. But you're right, Steve. I am surprised they haven't signed.
How beautiful would that be? How beautiful would that be if he jumped ship?
It is.
You talk about
so rivalries
already great as
even,
it is.
I can't even see it happening. I don't know if Tavares would put on that jersey. I really don't. You know, it would take a lot. As crazy as we want to see him because of how good he is, it'd be really hard for him, the other way. You know, he's got to play the Islanders 5-6 times in a year. It's strange, but
that would be awesome.
It's a good point. You want to know something? It's a good point, Steve, because why haven't they
signed him? Give him Manhattan. Give him Midtown.
You want to know something? If they let him go to free agency, it's going to be hard for him to turn down some of these offers. How much of a hometown discount do you give the Islanders? How much do you give them?
They have had their struggles, RP.
They've had their struggles. This home ring thing, the next year is kind of weird. We're going to play some games at Brooklyn. We're going to play some games at the Nassau Coliseum. You don't really have a home rink now. Because if they're going to split, they're going to play 13 games, I think it is, at the Coliseum, and the other 30 games, 28 games, whatever it may be, in Brooklyn. Well, I'm thinking a lot of these fans are going to take the Islander games at the Coliseum and not go to Brooklyn. How's Tavares going to feel about that in his first year? First 2 years on a new contract. So you're right.
I don't know. I mean, as long as he's getting paid. I was looking at it more of a brand thing. I mean, not the
I mean, he's in New York, is New York still, but think about that. I'm just looking at it from a fan point of view, that family.
From a fan point of view,
how great that would be. That would be awesome.
It would be a huge, I mean, it would be a surprise that you wouldn't even see coming. But what's scary about it is if you really think about it.
I'm calling it right now on the preview show. Calling.
It's as good a chance as anybody else. I mean, you don't think Toronto's going to throw big numbers at him? He's Toronto. You don't think, I don't know, throw another crazy
I think everybody
team. Winnipeg?
Everybody's putting their name in the hat, man.
Everybody. Why would you let him go to free agency? They're not going to be able to match these numbers. I don't see how they're going to be able to come close to matching these numbers. The Islanders have never been the big, throw money at you kind of team. They're trying to move. They don't know where they're getting the next ticket sale from. And now they're letting John Tavares walk into free agency? I mean, wow. I got to tell you something. That is, to me, that's a wow.
We're going to keep that in our back pocket. I'm going to keep a close eye on that. I mean, anything could happen. More than likely, he probably does stay. But hey, man, sports, you never know, man. I'm calling it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. He's our new captain.
Because when they make that trade, we're doing a Skype.
Skype, everything. Billboard, all that. But because it kind of was a carryover from that question of who's going to be the captain next year, if that means anything to you. Remember that question we had that about a week ago, right? For who's going to be the Rangers captain. I mean, not that it matter in the grand scheme of things, but you want to have some kind of leader. Who do you see anybody on this current roster that is that guy or no?
Well, of course, everyone's saying Zouk because of his heart and, you know, what he's been doing now. After the trade deadline, the problem with that is his name keeps coming up in trade talk. You can't name another captain and then trade him. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. I mean, you had Callahan. He went to Tampa. You just traded McDonough.
Yeah.
I would think the Rangers would name a captain probably in training camp once they see who's on the team. If it's not Zuccarello, I don't know who they would name. Who would you give the captaincy to? I mean, if Mark Stahl was definitely staying, you would consider it because he's been there so long. But he's
been in the middle
of talks of buyout crap again, like with Girardi, because for some reason they don't think Stahl's good enough. But I don't see a defenseman on the team. I mean, you couldn't give it to Shattenkirk because he didn't even play a whole season yet with the Rangers.
Too new.
So now you're going to forwards. I don't see any forward I give them to. They might go with the alternate captain route for a while.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely.
Look, the captaincy ruined Ryan McDonough on top of everything else. He never played that well once the seat was on his chest. It's a big responsibility in New York, so it's a good question. I wrote an article earlier in the week that said Zuccarello either be captain of the Rangers or a viable trade bait for somebody else. That's how the line is drawn right now. I mean, I'm still convinced he was going to Winnipeg if they didn't make the trade for Stastny earlier in that day. His name was just coming in every rumor I was reading. So it's weird. And also, remember, here's another thing to make him captain. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season, I believe. So if you're not going to sign him long term, you can't put the C on him either. It's a lot of cat and mouse thing.
Right. We got about 6 minutes left. Let me ask you your opinion on the rest of the league. You kind of hinted at it. You say Tampa Bay is the team to beat. I'm going against the grain with you. I think it's the Stanley Cup champions still. Why make your case for Tampa Bay? And I'll make my case for the other team and on this episode, and we'll get into the Western Conference teams as well.
Tampa Bay's got the goaltending. They got the goal scoring. I mean, they got 100 points now. They know how to win. They know how to play the close game. They know how to play the tight game. They don't have the experience, right? Your team's been there back-to-back plus other times. So I would see that's their only drawback, but this team has made it to the finals. They've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They know how to put away a team. They score goals. They don't, you know, they don't sit back or anything like that. They take advantage of their opportunities. So I think going in with confidence into the playoffs is huge. Their goaltender's been playing lights out. and I just think they're going to have a good run of it. I think they're going to get a lot of experience in the early rounds, and then once the Eastern Conference Final comes, they should be able to live up to the challenge and knock the Penguins out and make it into the Stanley Cup.
All fair points, and don't get me wrong, I do want them to win. We all, as New York Rangers fans, need them to win for that pick. We want that first round pick.
That's right.
So let's all be Tampa Bay Rangers fans. All right, go Tampa Bay. But I you know, the case for Pittsburgh, and it's their time of the year. It's starting to turn it up a little bit. They started off slow, and we all knew they were going to turn it on. Malkin's having a great season, of course. That first line has always been intact as for the last couple of seasons with Jake Gunsell and Connor Sherry and Sidney Crosby. You add in the Derek Brassard from the Ottawa Senators and put him with Sheehan and Kessel. They have a lot going on. They have veteranship. They have speed. They have a tremendous power play. I'll give you Tampa Bay's goaltending over Pittsburgh. I just think if they had to come down to it, I like Pittsburgh's chances. I hate to say that. We're going to see them firsthand tomorrow, RP, when we play them again. But hoping Tampa Bay could win. It's just that Pittsburgh's been there, done that, and it's their time of the year when they want to do it. And I think that's something about that three-peat in sports that you really, when it's on the table, you got to go for it. But let me ask you this before we go to the West real quick. Is there any other team in the East? Do you like the Devils' chances? Do you like Boston? I think Boston has played an excellent, excellent season since I say good
yeah.
December. They've been on fire. The Bruins.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I like Boston. Boston's been playing well. I never think the Caps are going to do it. I can't believe that Philadelphia is playing as well as they have playing. I think they're playing above their means right now, Philly. They always have goaltending issues and all. I tell you, it'll be interesting in the playoffs. They're a tough team, so anything can happen. I always like Columbus, but they never seem to be able to go over the hump. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but I don't think the Devils are going to. I have an outside feeling the only way the Devils keep the wild card is if they could put a good string together. Because they've just been not playing well lately. They're an up and down. They're just an up and down club. Win one, lose one, win one, lose one. I mean, they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. Not the way you want to be heading into the playoffs, even though there's still a couple of weeks left. They're only 3 points ahead of the Florida Panthers in the wild card spot. So it'd be unbelievable when the season ended if the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all fell out of the playoffs when they were all up there when January came around. But right now, the Devils are the only one that still have a shot, I think, to get there unless, you know, the Islanders get really hot. It's just too many teams to leapfrog. So
I don't see anybody else. No, I was going to say,
no.
What about real quick? We got about a minute left. Let me ask you this about the West. Who do you like in the West coming out the West thus far? I mean, we're going to have that conversation later though, but who do you like right now?
Always like Nashville. Don't know if they could do it. Vegas really has nothing to lose. I understand they've been playing well.
Right.
They got 95 points. They're right. They're 5 points behind Vegas. But you want to know something? They're playing with house money. To talk about Vegas, because no one thought they'd be as good as they are. But let's be realistic. And they've got the goaltender that's done it before. When Marc-Andre Fleury gets hot at the right time, anything can happen. You know, they're a tight knit. They play good defense. They play really well at home, and they're definitely gonna have some home ice advantages in the first round or two. So I like Vegas. Winnipeg's having a very surprising season. We saw them the other day. Patrick Alani, guy's awesome.
What aggressive forecheck they have. Wow.
He beat the Rangers by himself. The guy's
sure
a pure
did.
Scorer. I mean, I've told you that for a couple of years. He's one of my top three guys up there that you really can enjoy watching play. So I like the top three in the standings right now, coincidentally, but I do like Winnipeg, Vegas. It's just something about Nashville. They get there last year, can they get there again? Like you said, once you taste it, you want it. Right now, the Predators and the Lightning are both tied in the NHL with 100 points, so you see where it goes. But the West has four out of the five, what is it? The Lightning, the Predators, the Bruins, are the top three teams up there. So anything can happen once you get into the show, and they're all good teams. So I don't see any craziness going on until the playoffs start.
All right. We're out of time, RP. Just let everybody know how you can be found on social media and your articles and your content.
I'm on Ranger Proud on Facebook and on Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. And I'm a staff writer for Elite Sports New York for the Rangers. So check it out. We cover all New York sports. So if you're a Yankee fan, sorry, Steve, or a Giant fan or whatever New York sport you like, we have it all covered from top to bottom. So some good writers, some great stories. So check us out.
All right, Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast for Ranger Proud, rest of the way episode on the Bleed Blue Show, iTunes Podcast for public tuning, and your Stitcher apps. This episode is on the website, bleedblueshow.com. RP, it's great to talk sports with you. Hockey will be back next Tuesday. We're going to have a lot to discuss with the Rangers for the rest of the season and heading into the NHL playoffs. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.